The Good News Hour is with you once again. Your speaker is John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. And I should like to call attention, please, to the book of Job, and we shall read in chapter 25 and at verse 4, which says, How then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Now, it's interesting to note that the Bible abounds with questions, and it's more interesting even to know that the Word of God supplies the answer to all of such questions. And by the way, in the book of Job, there were some 82 or 3 questions directly asked Job by God, the God of heaven, and he was unable to answer even so much as one of them. And there were 2 questions that are found in this portion that we have just read to you, and they are very, very important. As a matter of fact, they are vitally concerned the whole human race. And I would further say that you would look in vain to find the answer to these 2 questions in the Old Testament. And let me once again put it before you, because it's very important. We're so apt to read the Word of God slipshod and without paying too much attention to it. But in the 25th of Job, and in verse 4, we read, "How then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman?" Now, we're going to see if we can get the answer to the second question, and then we shall look at question number 1 and go into it in some detail. And the second question is then, how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Now, if you were to turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, you would find that it is further complicated and further stressed, not only there, but in other portions of the Word of God. And in that 64th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, in verse 6, we read, "But we all, as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Now, I'm going to quote that verse to you once again in a moment, but I would suggest to you that in it we find that we are depraved, that we are defiled, that we are dying, and that we are doomed. That is to say, this is our picture as we stand before God as sons and daughters of the human family of Adam's race, until by sovereign grace we have been translated or transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me just read you the verse once more, and note, if you will, that little 3-lettered word, A-L-L. It occurs exactly 3 times, and I shall quote it to you once more. Isaiah chapter 64, and verse 6 we read, "But we all, as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." It isn't a very flattering scripture, is it? You know, the Word of God never flatters us, but as someone has said, it does flatten us. It brings us, in other words, to see just exactly what we are before God, and consequently, when we see what we are, then we turn to the only true source for deliverance, for salvation, and for cleansing. We are all as an unclean thing. And what has made us thus is the fact that we are sinners. Now, if you were to turn to Isaiah chapter 53 and read the 6th verse, that little word, that little 3-lettered word, once again comes before us. In fact, the first word of the verse and the last word of the verse end with that 3-word letter, A-L-L. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him," that is to say, upon our Lord Jesus Christ, "the sins," or the iniquities, "of us all." Now let me further add to that, and this should cause us much concern and deep soul exercise and searching too. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we are told, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And let me just remind you that in that third chapter of the epistle to the Romans, we have brought before us Jews and Gentiles, and were placed on the same level, the same standing before God, one indictment after another. We have a portrait, a clear portrait of just exactly how we stand in the presence of a sin-hating, a righteous, and a holy God. And notwithstanding all this, He has made infinite provision for us. Now then, since it is true that we are all sinners, since it is true that by nature we are all as an unclean thing, we are all defiled before God, how about the cleansing? Now, wouldn't you like to have an answer to that all-important question? And it's suggested in the very portion that we read to you, where he says in verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Now, I'm sure the Spirit of God, and through the prophet Isaiah, writes in such a way as to make clear to each and to all of us that it would be a vain attempt for us to seek to cleanse ourselves, to fit ourselves for the presence of God by human merit, by our own works, by our own attainment. Now, it says, "All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Not our great glaring sins as we think of them, but even our very best, the best that we could possibly do, the best that you could produce in that life of yours. And if you were to offer it to God for cleansing and say to Him, "Blessed God, I present to you now a life that I believe is beyond reproach, and I have given to the good cause, and I have been baptized, and I pray, and I try and treat my neighbors as I wish that they would treat me." But listen, if you were presenting that to God as a basis for cleansing or a basis for salvation, do you know what He would say to you? As admirable. Let me repeat, as some of those things might appear to be and seem to be even in your sight. He says, "All our righteousnesses," that is, not our bad deeds, but our righteousnesses, the best that we could do, He said, "are as filthy rags." And who would like to present that to God and say, "Now, blessed God, in exchange for my filthy rags, will you give to me the salvation of God?" And there are those who have the false notion that if we live a good, respectable, and a decent life, all our good deeds are put on the one side of the scales and our bad deeds on the other, and whichever outweighs determines. All our good deeds are put on the one side of the scales and our bad deeds on the other, and whichever outweighs determines where we shall be for all eternity. In other words, if the good deeds were to outweigh the bad deeds, that would mean we go to heaven. On the other hand, if the bad deeds that we have done were to outweigh the good deeds, then of course we would go to a lost eternity. But that's so decidedly wrong. Nothing can fit you for the presence of God but the garment of His own providing, the garment of righteousness. And you know, He would clothe any sinner, any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, with the righteousness of God which is in Christ, who simply comes to Him in faith and owns and confesses, "Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, I am unclean, I've sinned against heaven and in Thy sight, and I do stand in need of cleansing, and I'd like to be fitted for Your presence." How could it be brought about? Now we're going to see the answer to that as found in the Word of God, found in the first epistle of John. If you were to turn there, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, and at the end of that oft-quoted scripture, we read these precious, these holy words, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son," that is to say, God's Son, "cleanseth us from all sin." In other words, when God looks at a sinner who has taken refuge and shelter under the blood, He sees that person wholly cleansed, all his sins eternally put away in all the value of that precious, precious atoning blood. And you know, friends, there's only one thing that can satisfy the throne of God, the claims of God, and that's the precious blood of his dear Son. And let me further remind you, too, because there are sometimes those who think, well, I try to follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that, of course, is a human and a physical impossibility. I try to imitate his life, and you would find yourself, like the Apostle Peter, following afar off. And may I further stress to you all today that if our Lord Jesus Christ had come into this world as he did, and had lived a perfect sinless life, and that he did, and had he gone back to heaven without going to Calvary's cross, without pouring out his precious atoning life's blood, then not a son, not a daughter of Adam's race could ever have been made clean. And there would have been no answer to that question as asked by Job, or how can it be clean that is born of a woman? And oh, how glad we are to tell you that cleansing is found in the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, the waters of baptism will not cleanse you. They will not put away sin. They will not help put away sin. The remedy and the sole remedy, the only remedy, is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then I should like to link up with that very briefly. A passage that's found in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. You read it, verse 22. And we are there reminded of the fact that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In other words, no man, no woman, no person can ever be cleansed, can ever be made fit for his presence apart from the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, there's something else I should like to stress too in this connection. Not merely the fact that his blood has been shed, but it must be by faith appropriated. You see, it would be of little value, to be of no value other than to condemn you. If you know that he shed his blood for sin, his blood for cleansing, if you know that he shed his blood for you, and you fail to personally receive him as your Savior, to take shelter under the blood, then the wrath of God, the judgment of God, would fall upon you. Oh, wouldst thou be made clean today? Then hear again, please, how this is all brought about. The last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, which says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood." May God help you to trust his Son today. Now, if you desire further